Hi readers, welcome to Something Bookish Podcast. My name is Amin, aka Lip Gloss Mafia, aka the Crazy Book Lady, aka your bookish sensei. Yay! I'm so happy I got that intro in one go. Like, there was stuff in my mouth. And by stuff in my mouth, I mean stuff in my... Okay, sorry, my bad. Nope. I should absolutely do that intro again because I've just messed it up. So, we're doing a take two. Two take? Second take? Whew. Okay, focus, Amin. Focus. All right. And action. Hi, readers. Welcome to the Something Bookish Podcast. My name is Amin, aka Lip Gloss Mafia, aka the Crazy Book Lady, aka your bookish sensei. On this podcast, I talk about all things books and reading, from book lists to reviews, musings, tips and tricks, and the occasional guest chats. So think of the space as a virtual lounge, but for bookish people, and the very best kind. The elite of the elite, the 1% of the bookish folks, okay? Who are very chill and cultured and cool, obviously. So if this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the dark side. And if this is not your first time listening to the podcast, hey, how you doing? Readers, this is the 79th episode. And on this episode, I'll be sharing the books I read in the month of April. So this is a wrap-up episode. But before we get into it, a little housekeeping, shall we? So, to the uninitiated, if you're new to the podcast, housekeeping means things that I have on the agenda that I would like to talk to you about. You know, updates and stuff that I feel like I need to get into a little bit. I don't know why I'm speaking big English, but housekeeping means things on the agenda before the episode. Okay? All right. So first on the list, I have my schedule for Kaba Fest is now out, and I found out that I am going... Hold on. This thing is a bit loud. I can't hear myself. Okay, so I found out that I am going to be hosting a workshop and I am going to be hosting a book chat. Now, the workshop is about creating community via book influencing, I think. I must have phrased that wrongly, but it's just a workshop on getting people to turn their book obsession into something community based. You know, that's basically what the workshop is about. And also for people who want to join Bookstagram or become book activists, as I like to call myself. Yes, I'm a book activist. I'm a book activist and I am a literary culture curator. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. I got it wrong the last time. It's literary culture curator. That's me. That's what I do on this online streets. And I'm also going to be hosting a book chat with the author of When We Were Fireflies. Now, if you have been a follower of this podcast, you would know that I'm not crazy about this author's work, so it's going to be an interesting conversation. I wonder how my tempo is going to be, you know? Maybe I will just drink to create the atmosphere and energy I need to bring, but I will let you be the judge of that. It's going to be live streamed, and you can just follow Kaba Fest on YouTube. That's Kaba Fest, Fest. So I will probably share the links elsewhere, maybe my stories on Instagram, but just remember it's Kaba Fest on YouTube. And my book chat is going to be happening on the 2nd of May, I think, by like 9 or 10 a.m. It's the first book chat after the welcome ceremony, so I basically will be setting the tone for the entire festival. Oh my God, the pressure. The pressure. Next up on the agenda, please subscribe to the newsletter. Yes, I know I haven't shared the letter since like January. I am getting to it, okay? My pen has just been a little dry, and I'm unable to find the words to say what I want to say. I mean, I'm talking to you now. It's just writing just requires me to be a bit more vulnerable, and I don't think I'm in the headspace for that yet, if that makes sense. All right. Next up, if you aren't already, please follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm going to be a wonderful addition to your timeline. And if you are following me, spread the word, okay? Get people to follow me on Twitter and get people to follow me on Instagram. Just, you know, shout me out, you know, let's shout each other out. Actually, that's how I prefer to do it. Tit for tat. Wait, what is even the meaning of tit for tat? Is it like titties for tatas? But that would mean like breast for breast. That doesn't even make sense. I feel like I'm going to Google what tit for tat means. But it feels naughty to me, because tit is short form for titties. Tatas is another form of boobies. So tit for tat is like the left breast for the right breast. So what exactly is the... I'm digressing. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Next up on the agenda, we are reading the... Well, we, by we, I mean the Indulgence Bibliophile, is reading Days Come and Go by Hemley Boom this May. Follow us on Instagram for updates. The Indulgent Bibliophile, that's our book of the month for May. Next up, so I had a chat with one of my favorite Anis, my favorite Egbons, and it seems like I will be planning a virtual hangout for all of you, my bookish friends, but it's going to be a paid virtual event. Like, what do you think? What are your thoughts? Does it sound like something you would like to attend? You know, because I don't want Bubwero. By Bubwero, to people who are not Yoruba, Bubwero is like every Tom, Dick and Harry. I don't want every Tom, Dick and Harry to attend the event. So I need to like make it a bit more exclusive. That's why it's paid. But like, how is the idea percolating in your mind right now? Do you think it's something you might want to do? You know, hit me up. Like, are you excited for a paid virtual event with something bookish? I'm so shy. Oh my God. Let me know. Okay. Next up on the agenda, friendly reminder that you can still participate in the Something Bookish Reading Challenge. The prompts are available on StoryGraph. If you just Google Something Bookish Reading Challenge, even if you Google it. Wait, I just said if you Google it, and then I said even if you Google it. I mean, if you Google the Something Bookish Reading Challenge 2024, it's going to pop up. Also, if you go to my page, Lip Gloss Mafia, it's in my pinned post. You can find the prompt. So the prompts are available everywhere. And you know how much I love a good reading challenge. How are you doing for your reading challenge this year? Has it been good? I feel like the prompts this year were pretty easy. Yeah. What do you think? Let me know. Hit me up. And last on the agenda is, please, dear friends, I know things are tough right now, but if you can and you would like to support my ministry, and by ministry, that's my book, Activism, you can do that by buying me a cup of coffee. And I have a link on my page. The link is in the show notes, but if you follow me on social media, if you go to the link in my bio, you would see buy a cup of coffee. Now, this page only allows you pay in the Naira, but it accepts cards from all over the world. So all you have to do is convert the amount you want to donate to the Naira, and poof, you have donated. Thank you always for your unwavering support. I appreciate you all the time. What else is left? Ooh, what I'm drinking. I'm currently drinking a Ruby Port, and I think I might have had too much because, fam, this shit is making me horny. I wanna do bad things. I feel like this is a disclaimer because I might find a lot of things sexual, in the things I'm talking about that are not sexual. So if you feel offended, I'm sorry? Question mark. Not really sorry, because you know what you were expecting when you started listening to the Something Bookish podcast, okay? Things are going to get naughty. I do like some naughty stuff. So, without further ado, let's talk books, shall we? So, welcome again to my April wrap-up. I finished a total of 22 books this month. It was insane. Like, I was busy, but the amount of books I read, even me, I was shocked. I was actually shocked. I read 22 books, and I DNF'd 4 books. All right, so first on the list, I finished Anita the Monte Laughs Last by Xochitl Gonzalez. This was a hybrid. I read and I listened. And you should absolutely listen to this one. Why? Because, okay, so the thing is, I saw reviews of the audiobook of this one, and a lot of people were saying the person who voiced Anita the Monte was a bit too loud or too passionate. But I think she breathed life into that character. Sometimes I'm not crazy for too much acting in an audiobook, but this one, like, I'm never going to forget this voice in my head, Anita the Monte. Like, this character is going to be forever etched in my head. And because it was a hybrid, I could see how well it translated also in text, because the character in text is very loud and very vivacious, very feisty. And this voice narrator, just, she killed it. Oh my God. I want to listen to everything this person has ever worked on, and I'm going to. But it's looking like this might be like the only thing they've done. But it's a very interesting story. It has multiple POVs, someone from the past, and it has a little bit of like supernatural elements going into it, because it's a story about revenge, it's a story about race, it's a story about classism in arts academia. And it has the lead characters are Latinas, so it's just very fascinating reading it from that POV, and how women sometimes, like, the pattern of making bad decisions just continues, and how women are erased in history. Normally this is supposed to be like a book review, but I don't want to give too much away. I feel like you should go into this book blind, because that's what I did, and it made the experience much more enjoyable. I feel like if I'd seen anything about this book, it would have spoiled it for me. So, with that said, this is a book I feel like Amin said I should read it, so I'm just going to read it. Just go with that. Trust me on this one. Anita the Monte Laughs Last. The next book I finished reading was The Reformatory. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it well. And this is by Tanana Rive? This person's name is just odd. This was also a hybrid situation. And I'd already sworn I was going to stop reading any book that had to do with African-American and post-slavery or slavery kind of narratives. But this one was done well. It was very interesting. It's about a young boy who gets sent to a place that is a reformatory, and it also had supernatural elements because he's talking to like ghosts and stuff, and I liked it. So the ending scene, let me not say anything. Oh, look at me, I was about to drop a spoiler. But there's something about the pacing of this novel, like, you're kept at the edge of your seat till you finish, and it's a very big book. The fact that I was able to be sustained through that length, I'm actually quite impressed that this author did that. So yeah, I enjoyed this one a lot. The next book I finished reading was Olive Kittybridge by Elizabeth Strout. This was also a hybrid situation, and I'm feeling now, like, as I get older, my kind of short stories are the ones that are interconnected. This one was an interconnected story about a city somewhere in Maine, New York, and this main character, Olive, she's going through things. I mean, the people in the town, life is happening to them, and her character is I don't know, but it's interconnected in a way that it's not obvious. You just keep going, and then you see Olive somewhere in someone's story. You're like, oh, there she is. And then seeing her from other people's POV, and then we go back to her own POV. Well, it's not a POV because it's a short story collection. Then we go back to a story of hers, and then we go back to a story of another person who is living in the town. It's just, I think it was very clever the way this was done. And everybody seemed, not everybody, but a lot of people seem to know this author. This was my first time reading them, so kudos to them. I think there's another book called Olive Again. I probably will be reading that later in the year. We'll see how it goes, because I really like the writing style of this author. Who would I be able to recommend this to? If you liked Pleasant View, I would definitely recommend this to you. It's given literary fiction, but very easy to get into literary fiction. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Alright. So the next book I finished reading was A Tempest of Tea by Hafsa Faisal. This was a hybrid situation, and honestly one of my most disappointing reads, because this was an anticipated book for 2024 and it was a body read with Anita. I have spoken to Anita on the podcast. You should go back and look for her interview. It was so much fun. And this book was just not, it was so disappointing. See, that thing they say where a book with fine cover is just, they're just trying to compensate for something. Every day, fine books do this to me. Now, this book had a good premise. It's just, there was no character development. The plot had way too many holes. Like, trailers will enter inside the holes that were in this plot. And it was just, it was lackluster. You know, like, diluted Ribena. Do you know what I mean? Do you know how sad? Imagine Ribena is diluted and then it has been kept under the sun. So it's like hot diluted Ribena. It's not interesting. It wasn't nice. I'm very disappointed. I can't recommend this book to anybody. So if you ever listen to this podcast and you see this book outside, just move away, because she ain't no diva. All right. The next book I finished reading was Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez. You know she's a fave on this podcast. I'm obsessed. I think last year I finished reading all her books. This one just came out this year, and the week it dropped was when I read it. It was really good. I know the thing about Abby Jimenez. She writes romance in such a way that you always learn something. Like, the characters are complex and the entanglements are very tangled, and you'd be wondering, these people love each other so much, I really hope they make it through, you know, that kind of vibe. Like, you're always rooting for the characters despite the fact that they are going through shit. So yeah, I liked this one. I liked it a lot. Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez. The next book I finished reading was Banyan Moon by Tao Tai. This is a book by a Vietnamese American author. Honestly, I don't know what made me read this book. I honestly do not, I can't, I think the book was just available at the library. It must have been in my TBR or on hold, and I just decided to listen. And right now, I can't even remember what the book is about. Okay, actually, I can remember what the book is about. It has three generations of women, the same family, and there is a pattern of men staining are white in this book. I think that's the thing I can remember. Men do disappoint them in all three generations, but the women seem to be very strong and just keep holding on. I'm just so sad that they keep taking shit men in their lives. And then don't you want a soft life? It's like they thrive on being like hard women, you know, who are going through things. It's like no one learns from the other generation. And I think that's the thing with some women. When parents never tell their daughters the truth, the daughters never ask their mothers what's happening, so like the pattern of bad behavior just continues, you know. But this book was just, it was made. I'm able to talk about it like this now in hindsight, but I don't think I'll be able to recommend this book to anyone. No, let's just move on. The next book I finished reading was Welcome to Hunamdong Bookshop by Hoang Borum. I'm sorry I butchered that name. The book is by a South Korean author, and this was a hybrid situation. I listened to it and I read the book because, you know me, I would always read a book that is about books and reading. And this is a book about a woman who is fed up in her life and decides to buy a place and start a bookshop. And we are introduced to like many characters she gets to meet, like staff, a guy who becomes a barista in a store, a young boy whose mother is sent there, his mother becomes a book club member, and there are just like so many different characters. And then she meets someone who she develops feelings for. It's a very wholesome read, you know. There's no way to describe a book that is about books and reading. It's just very, and the thing about books from South Korea like this, it's just very slow and calming, and you're just enjoying the ride. The writing is really good. There'll be like so many places like to underline, because god damn it, you're just like, oh my god, that's me, yes. Because there are so many sentiments about reading and like the magical power of books. It's just, this was a 5-star read for me. Absolutely loved it. The next book I finished reading, which was like the worst book. I feel like this is the worst book I've ever read in my entire life. And I have read a lot of worst books. This one just took the cake. So this book marketed itself as a sapphic horror novel, yeah? And it's titled The Wicked and the Willing by Lian Yu Tan. And honestly, this book, I picked it because I liked the audiobook narrator, Emily Wuzela. She's one of my favorite audiobook narrators. That's why I decided to listen to the book. But my god, it was so bad. The plot. First of all, it's this vampire lady who doesn't drink blood from the neck like normal people, but she sucks people's menstrual blood. Like, why? First of all, blood from the neck is supposed to be like a life source, you know, it's fresh, it's still moving like a river. But like menstrual blood, that's like drinking water from a lake. Okay, lake is still moving. Drinking water from a pond, you know, like it's not like, what is the point? And also there's like, they said that they did share trigger warnings in the book that sexual assault, but I thought it was going to be maybe sexual assault from a man raping a woman. But alas, it's this vampire person that is raping her maid. By the way, I also did not like the race play in this, because the vampire is a white person and the book is set in Malaysia. So the maid is a Malaysian girl. I just didn't like the fact that all the vampires... Well, it kind of makes sense that all the vampires were Caucasian people, you know, colonizers. But the fact that they were taking blood from the people in town, and the way the book ends, it's like, it just felt like a complete waste of my time. The writing was so bad, the style of the banter, the dialogue, it just felt like someone who was still learning how to write and they just needed to put out their fantasy, because I've even read better stuff on Wattpad. This was just not, it's so bad. I feel like giving it more airtime is going to upset me. Oh god, let me drink some of my wine to calm my nerves, because this is just... It's absolute nonsense. It really is. Please don't read this book anywhere you see it, okay? The Wicked and the Willing. Do not read this book. Like, skip it very fast. Now, the next book I finished reading was Cover Story by Susan Rigetti. This month. Was it late last month? I think it was early this month. I decided I was going to join folks who are doing the 12 books by 12 friends challenge, and I wanted to make it bigger because I have way more friends. So I did mine 20 books by 20 friends, and these are two books. I was able to cover two books this month. Cover Story by Susan Rigetti was recommended by Nayen. I have also spoken to her on the podcast. You should check that out. Now this book felt like an imitation version of this, what's her name, the lady on the Netflix show, Anna, what's the name of that show, the one where she was scamming people on the Netflix show, Anna Delvey. Anyway, this book felt like an imitation version of that. Maybe if I hadn't watched that series, I'd have been able to appreciate this one more. But this one was, it just felt like a watered down version. And I also did not like the way it was resolved at the end. The plot twist, I wasn't surprised. I was just disappointed because there's so much that could have been done, but it was just left anyhow. I didn't enjoy it that much. I liked it when I was reading it, like, because the build up was quite nice, but the way it was resolved made it, it kind of cheapened the whole experience for me. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, cover story. The next book I finished was Romantic Comedy. This one was recommended to me by Adesua Wokedi, author of The Marriage Class and several other books. And I really, really enjoyed this one. See, I'm down for people older than 30 in books because I feel like the way they resolve issues is completely different. The kind of issues that they're even having is completely different. And it doesn't feel, maybe because I'm closer to that age range, I feel like I can relate, though I could not relate to any of the people here, their issues. But like, things were done. It wasn't, how would I describe it? You don't have like, even the impulsive actions that happen don't seem too impulsive, you know? Because I know age doesn't always come with sense, but still there was a maturity to this plot. I liked the pacing. I liked the slow burn. I was very fascinated by this book, and I think I want to read more books where love interests are older than 30. I liked this one. It was by the way, it's a romance novel. The author was inspired by Saturday Night Live, so the characters are set in that world. The woman is a writer for a late night talk show. But something like Saturday Night Live. She's a script writer for them, and the guy is an artist who came on as a host, and things develop from there. It's very interesting. Also, it's set in like COVID times, so you know how things were. A lot of people had to do long distance relationships during COVID, so I just like how it was paced. The next book I finished reading was Not Here to Be Liked. I always like to add a young adult novel every month. This one is Not Here to Be Liked by Michelle Kwak. I hope I pronounced that right. This was an audiobook experience, and I really, really like this book. So it's this girl who is a feminist, and she's running for the editor of the school newspaper. But then there was no opposition, and then the next day she wakes up. A random guy who joined the newspaper like 2 months ago has decided he wants to run for editor also. And then he wins because, you know, boys do. He just gave a very laid-back speech, and everybody decided to give him the gig. And they were now telling her that, oh, you know, that she's not like the most likable person. And then a scandal breaks out, and she and this guy have to work together. And then, you know, like young adults and puppy love, they start developing feelings for each other. I think I found it so interesting because she was at odds with herself for liking this guy because he's a baseball player. And she's like, oh my God, as a feminist, how can I be falling for this kind of person? So cliche. So adorable. I like reading young adult because I love being in these young people's heads. Maybe I didn't have, and I've told you before, I didn't have time to do young adult stuff when I was a young adult. So I guess I'm reliving my young adult days. But it was a really good read. I really enjoyed this. This was like 4/5 for me. I liked it a lot. So I've already done 11 books I finished reading. Now I'm going to share the books I DNF'd, and then I'll continue the books that I finished reading for the month. So my DNFs, I was only able to DNF 4, which I think is decent, you know? It's a decent amount. The first book I DNF was Goddesses by Nina Milnes. So I don't even know why I started reading this book. I think it was because of the cover. I just really liked the cover and I said, let me try it. And then it's a group of women who are at a bachelorette party. It's not really a bachelorette party, but it's like a race thingy. I'm not crazy about all this race things, especially when it was just too heavy on the agenda. Like, in less than 20 minutes, I'm like, when are we going to get to the story? So I just DNF'd because I wasn't invested anymore and I didn't care what happened to the characters. The next book I DNF'd was Women of Good Fortune by Sophie Wan. This was an audiobook. I honestly don't know why I DNF'd this, but I think I just got bored. I don't even know what the book was about. I didn't have enough time to get into it because I DNF'd this at 15% and I still don't know what the book was about. So, I remember now. My bad. It's about three friends who have decided that they are going to, and it's set in Singapore. And Singapore, most Asian weddings have this tradition that on the wedding day, people are going to gift the bride lots of money, you know, for good luck. So these three women have decided that they are going to rob the money, that's including the bride. The bride is one of the three women, and they've decided that they are going to rob the money, and the bride will use it to escape and share it with her friends, and they can do whatever they want to do because she was marrying into a really rich family, so they had estimated that the money was going to be a lot. But I didn't enjoy the characters and they just seemed really boring, and I wasn't interested in this supposed heist. Maybe one day I'll go back to it, but I don't know. I wasn't interested again. Wrong place, wrong time, could be. The next book I DNF'd was We All Want Impossible Things by Catherine Newman. I actually thought I was going to enjoy this book because he had older women characters, and one of the women is ill and her best friend is coming to take care of her. But I don't know, something got lost along the way. I think I just got bored and I wasn't interested in it anymore. Maybe again, wrong time, wrong timing. I might come back to it, who knows. The next book I DNF'd was Water Baby by Chioma Okereke. It's with a heavy heart that I DNF'd this book, because the author herself reached out to me to give me an advanced copy, but I just couldn't get into it. I didn't buy the dialogue, and I was very interested in reading this book because it sets in an area of Lagos that is popular but doesn't get mentioned a lot in media. And it's Makoko, the people living on the lagoon village, if you will. So it's a very interesting premise. It's just I didn't buy the dialogue. The character development wasn't believable. The plot was meandering. I just wasn't having a good time. So I DNF'd this one. And I'm looking forward to hearing people's thoughts, because the book is out now. It came out this month. So I'm looking forward to reading people's reviews to see if I missed anything. But I'm pretty confident that not a lot of people are going to dig this book. But we'll see. Time will tell. I will come back to you with gist about the book. Okay? So yeah, those were the books I DNF'd. And now we are back to the books that I finished reading for the month of April. So the next book I finished reading was The Love Plot by Samantha Young. I feel like doing a review for this one will be pointless because myself and Karachi of the Litty Pod talked about this book. We did a full episode to review this book. So you should definitely check it out, The Love Plot on the Litty Podcast. The book was just, pass. I'll pass on this one. So the next book I finished reading was Truth Be Told by Kia Abdullah. Yes, I'm continuing my romance with Kia Abdullah's books. This woman knows how to write suspense. She knows how to do legal drama. She knows how to pace a fucking novel. My God. It's so wild to me that I always think I know where it's going to end, and then she just switches up the entire game. And it's not a twist that gives you whiplash, you know? It's almost like you could have seen it coming, but you just didn't imagine that it would have gone in that direction. Do you know what I mean? This author, honestly, if you haven't read any Kia Abdullah, pick anyone. I have read three so far. This would be my third Kia Abdullah. After this one, there's one more, and I cannot wait to read it to share my thoughts. And after that, I would have finished reading all her books. But my goodness, this was such a good read. 4.5. I don't even know why I didn't give it 5 stars. I'm just being stingy. It was just a really good read. The next book I finished reading was How to Kill a Guy in 10 Ways by Eva Kelman? Evie? Okay, I missed the name. But yeah, How to Kill a Guy in 10 Ways. So I picked up this book because, you know, I'm always looking for women doing bad things. But this one did not give. It was just... it was very... I mean, there's a lot of killing. It was just very underwhelming, you know? I think the only killing in this book that I enjoyed was the first one, which was accidental. And that was when the protagonist was a teenager. But now, as an adult, where they could be killing with more intention, it just seems too haphazard for me. Like, I'm not feeling it. Like, I'm not buying into her motivations. But she does it well. And the book is also a testament to female friendships because, you know, you will do things for your girlfriends that you will not do for yourself. So, I mean, I liked it. I gave it 3/5. It just wasn't... maybe it's a case of I have read, like, other books that dealt with men in a more kinny manner. That this one just felt too tame. Do you know what? I don't even know if this is a good thing to say. But I felt like it could have... more could have been done. Okay, there are more creative ways. And I just... the protagonist's reasons for doing what she did was admirable. I just didn't feel like she felt it strongly enough. Or maybe that wasn't just portrayed, like, well enough for me. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It was a bit underwhelming. The next book I finished reading was So the Path Does Not Die by Payday Holist. Now, I read the farm. This book was bad. Let me just start immediately. The book is not a well-written book. It's not interesting. It's irritating. So this is the book that a lot of kids are going to be reading for WAEC in like 2026 to 2030. And I kind of do feel bad for them because they're going to have to dissect the life out of this. And I remember dissecting books that were boring as fuck when I was a teenager. But now, reading it as an adult, if I was going to be tested on this book, I would fail as a matter of principle. Or maybe I would even pass because I would talk and arrange my points in such a way that they would have to tell the author, never again should you try this in your life. Because the book started out well, yeah? And then it just proceeded into all manner of rubbish. The character development is poor. We are focusing on people that we should not be focusing on. Themes or issues are brought up that are not treated with the care and sensitivity it should be treated with. Yeah, I know the book was published like 2012, but the fact that they are bringing it back for students to study, it's Alpha Generation Alpha. I didn't know the ones going to be studying this book. Yeah, it's them. And I just feel like this book is not right for the times that they're in. I feel like there could have been another book that students... but I know those books that are picked for the syllabus is all politics. This is just wrong. I don't know who this person knows in education, but this is the wrong book for kids to be reading. It gives nothing for narrative style. It gives nothing for plot devices. It gives nothing for characterization. It gives nothing for the plot itself. Like, what are we learning? You know, I'm a little bit offended. I'm kind of offended. This is not... oh, God. I feel so bad for these kids that will be studying this book. Oh, my God. It's so bad. And honestly, I'm ready to give away my copy. If anybody would like a copy just to check it out, you can holler at me. I will give you mine for free. I don't want it anymore. The book is just... I was reading it and I made sure to finish it because I knew this, like, when the students are studying it, obviously they will have to finish the book. There's no DNFing in literature when you're studying for an exam. So I wanted to put myself through it, and it was just... I felt so depressed. Lucky for me, I'm multi-reading, so it would have put me in a reading slump if this was the only book I was reading at the time. It was just that bad. Anywho, the next book I finished reading was Butter by Asako Yuzuki. This was a hybrid situation. Now, This book was marketed as a thriller, but it's not a thriller at all. It's literally just psychological fiction. And it's a book about a journalist who becomes obsessed with a food blogger who is accused of killing three men. And she starts to visit this woman in prison and they develop a rapport. But the woman finds a way to kind of fuck her life up, because that's how she does things. Psychologically fuck you up. And I found it very interesting, because you know, Japanese novels, sometimes they are not moving, but at the end of the day, you don't see yourself moving, but at the end of the day, you've actually moved like a mile. It's very slow and atmospheric. I really enjoyed this one. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Yeah. Because it's like recipes. I mean, not like I'll be making a lot of Japanese recipes, but like the description of food was really lovely. I liked it. The next book I finished reading was When We Were Fireflies by Abubakar Adam Ibrahim. Now, this is, well, it's the author I'll be interviewing for Kaba Fest. So all I can say about this one is make sure you tune in to the live stream on May 2nd. That's all I can say, so that you can understand my thoughts more. But hint, hint, I'm not crazy about the book. I will just say that right now. But tune in to that live stream, okay? The next book I finished reading was Penance by Eliza Clark. Now, why do I always say that? Now, my God, I mean, so cliche. Okay, so Penance. This book is narrated by a full cast, yeah? And it's the narrative style is it's an author in the book trying to write a book about an event that happens. A girl is burnt alive by three of her schoolmates, and all the true crime podcasts and documentaries are going crazy about this case, but it's not covered properly. So this particular author in the book decides that he's going to go around looking for the facts and he's going to write the book. So we are following him in the process of interviewing people, getting backstories, and we're following him through the research process of writing this book. It's a very interesting and clever narrative style. I really, really enjoyed this book, and I think I'm going to look for the author's debut boy parts, because I really like what she did to this one. I wonder what her debut could have been about. I'm very interested. I just really like this book. So if you're like a true crime person, which this book actually shares that if you should not even be calling yourself a true crime person. It's not a flex, because their families have gone through stuff and were still here rehashing their lives for entertainment. And that kind of made me like self-reflect a little bit. And I've decided I'm going to stop watching true crime stuff on Netflix, because most of the victims' family members are not okay with these stories out there. Like, fuck. But yeah, it's an interesting way to poke holes at the things that we feel is our rights to know, and if we really need to know them, and if we need to know them, why? Do you know what I mean? It asks a lot of questions. Very intriguing novel. I liked it. The next book I finished reading was Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan. Now, some people I know did not enjoy this book, but I did. And also, I was surprised I did, because I normally do not like second chance romance. I am a big believer in if you've broken up, stay broken up. But these ones, I can understand the reason for their breakup. And I get how they still have so much chemistry and things unresolved. And the chemistry is really burning between them. I was really rooting for them to get together. I really like this novel. Also, we have characters that are way above 30. So I like that kind of vibe. It was very just like the man going for therapy. There's healing, there's hope, there's sizzle, because you know it's Kennedy Ryan, so the smut was smutting. I really, really liked this novel. I liked it a lot. If you haven't read it, you should definitely read it. The next book I finished reading was When I Think of You by Maya Ariel. Oh my God, I read this book. Also, body read with Anita. Honestly, I don't know the bad luck that's catching me and Anita with our body reads, but this one did not bang. And the book is so bad in such a way that you have to question the kind of things the author has been reading in their life as romance, because the female lead in this book carries the entire weight of romance. Like, you can, it's obvious the man does not deserve her, but she's just pushing herself towards him as if this is the only, maybe, and the annoying thing is all this, oh, he was her first, so maybe he has imprinted on her, but it wasn't even like, okay, so the guy is a biracial kid, like we say in Nigeria, he's half caste, and he has that light-skinned behavior, this, you know, I'm so hot, girls just have to deal with me how they deal with me, you know, like, this, it is what it is, that kind of attitude of, I'm a baller, that's just who I be. And like, she's destroyed in the press, he doesn't do anything, she's the one who like finds a way to go around it, she's the one who does a grand gesture at the end, and I'm like, okay, so what is the need of this boy in this book? Because this, she could have been with a vibrator as the main, as the male lead, and there would have been better chemistry, because I did not feel the chemistry between the characters. It just felt like she was pushing herself towards him and he was giving lackluster energy. I don't like it when women are not soft in books, because this one, she was hard, so far, and the guy was giving her like crumbs. I just, to the point that when she had to take a break and be like, I don't think we can be together, he was like, oh, I thought you were going to stay with me, and I was like, bitch, like, why should she stay with you? You're not even pulling your weight. Protect her in the mud. Like, you left her. Oh, thinking about this book is upsetting me. I'm actually very upset. I feel like I wish I could ask the author, like, what exactly do you in your heart of hearts think this is a romantic, like, you think this is romance? This is how women should be treated? I don't like it when women struggle. This is 2024. Like, enough of struggle love for black women. This is not nice. And doing this for what? A light-skinned guy. Ah, God. Romance in the potter. She just set us back like 100 years. Honestly, if you see this book anywhere, When I Think of You by Maya Ariel, throw it away, because again, she ain't no diva. Yeah. The next book I finished reading was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. So, this book, I don't know. This book, how do I explain it? I don't know whether to call it a dystopian novel, a fantasy novel. The premise is a young woman comes back from a bachelorette party and there's a man in her house. And apparently, her attic, someone who she's married to is popping out of the attic. Like, she went there for the bachelorette party as a single woman. And then she comes back home, all of a sudden, there's like a portal in her house that is letting in people that identify as her husbands. And it's not just that. It's like when she turns to the rest of her house, the world has kind of changed and adjusted to the fact that she's married to this person. Like, there are wedding pictures on the wall, pictures in her phone, and the person is talking to her like a husband. And then when the person goes back into the attic, she sends them to go pick something up in the attic. Another person comes down, another husband, and it's like she's having series of husbands. And I'm just upset because she was on her own, single. Maybe it's because I'm a single girl, but I kind of felt offended at the concept of the story, because, like, why is she on her own and all of a sudden being attacked with husbands all of a sudden? Like, I didn't get the motivation why, because as I was reading in the first part of the book, there was no indication that she wanted to be married. As I kept on reading the book, there was no justification why husbands were popping out of the attic. Like, why? Because the thing is, literally, if she sent a husband into the attic, a new one is literally going to drop down. It's like her life is an unending. This felt like punishment to me, and I just didn't buy it. Maybe people who are married will be able to relate to this book, but I did not like the concept of this book at all. I think I was reading it to find out what could have been interesting about it and if there was justification, but there was no justification. And in the end, yes, I'm going to spoil it for you, sorry, in the end she had to burn down the attic and manage the husband
that she was stuck with for the rest of her life. So she started the book single, and then now she's forced to live with a husband. Why couldn't she go back to being single? Why couldn't she send the guy up, the last guy up? Because she has over 100 people come out of her attic, like in exchange, not like they're around in the world. So I just didn't get the concept of the husbands. As I don't know, maybe I wasn't smart enough to get it, but as a single lady, I didn't like it that I'll just come back home after a night out and one man is saying hello dear. Dead body go surplus. I'm sorry, what, we're gonna die? I couldn't deal with this book. It was just too much stress. And I didn't DNF because I was listening to the book when I was busy with my hands. So I didn't have time to look for another audiobook or something. I just continued. So yeah, that was it. And then the last book I finished reading for the month was the book of the month for the Indulgent Bibliophile, If You Want to Make God Laugh. And whew, this is an emotional read. It's heavy. It's not a book I would say you should binge read. And I don't want to give too much away, but the book is very interesting. It's about unusual friendships. Yeah, I think that's one of the best way I can summarize it. It's a book about unusual friendships and a book about hope and a book about learning to find love again. Yeah, that's If You Want to Make God Laugh. So these were the books I finished reading in the month of April. My standout books were Anita the Monte Laughs Last, The Reformatory, Olive Kittybridge, Just for the Summer, Welcome to the Huyamdong Bookshop, Romantic Comedy, Truth Be Told, Penance, and If You Want to Make God Laugh. These were my standout books for the month of April. Let me know if you'll be reading any of these books. I would like to hear your thoughts. Quick reminder before I leave, if you're participating in the Something Bookish Reading Challenge, be sure to share your progress using the hashtag Something Bookish Reading Challenge. If you need some recommendations, check out the challenge page on Storygraph. And if you don't find what you're looking for there, feel free to send me a message anytime. Yay, you made it to the end. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would love to read or hear any comments or feedback you have. And you can do that by sending me a message on Twitter or Instagram at LipglossMafia. That's LipglossMafia. Subscribe or follow now so you don't miss out on the next episode, which is always available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. If you enjoy this podcast, and I know you do because you are still listening, kindly spread the book love by spreading the word. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, rate and leave a review. What this does is it helps new listeners find the show. As you know, shares and reviews are my love language. Thank you in advance. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you for listening. Readers, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And like Jim Rohn said, reading is essential for those who seek to rise above the ordinary. Happy reading, everyone. Bye.